Father, we just thank you, as we did earlier, just to give us a place that's warm and comfortable that we can come and worship you and sing praises for you and of you and just ultimately learn about you this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit, that you may fill this building this morning with your presence and just work through every one of us. You're a helper. That's what you're designed to do, and we ask you for that help this morning, that you may tweak us, work on us, reveal the things to us that we need to hear, that we may be hiding from or trying to get rid of or whatever it may be that just needs to be exposed in our life. We just pray that you reveal that truth to us this morning so we can just walk forward and be new. We are created to be with you and to be one together, and we just ask this morning that you just give us the courage to step away from our old life and ourself and just bury that and continue forward in the direction that you need us to. We want to pray for our nation this morning as it's hard to even pray for, but just the safety of our military, the troops that are headed over to Ukraine now, that they're upping those again, and the United States citizens that are told to flee Ukraine, and it looks like the battle's on the horizon, Father. And you know that you've designed this world to do certain things and work certain ways, and you know what's going to happen. And we want to pray that you can give us the eyes to see what you're trying to reveal through us through what these next few weeks are going to show. And we just pray for our military that you may ultimately just protect our women and men that are over there protecting this country and protecting the allies that we have with the resources that you've given this nation. We just pray for the integrity to be reinstilled in our leaders and in our military as we go forward these next few weeks, that they're going to need a foundation that only you can provide to be able to stand firm and look at what they've got ahead of them. So we just pray for their safety and for their family members as they're left back here alone, whether it's wives or children or husbands or whatever it may be, mom and dads. They're going to be nervous and missing them and just scared. And we just pray that you can reach your healing hand down and your comforting hand and just comfort them. And just give them peace in this time of chaos. And we just pray for whatever it is that you need us to be doing, that you may reveal that to us. You've created us for a time such as this, and I just ask that you truly reveal that to each one of us, what you need us to be doing in this time. You've got us designed to be on this earth and walk this path and be positioned where we're positioned for some sort of reason. And whatever that may be, I just ask that you reveal that however be necessary to any one of us in this room to just work out what you've got planned out. And Father, I just want to pray for anybody that's sick that can't be here today. I know there's all sorts of people dealing with sickness and family members that we all have or know of, friends or whatever, that are sick. And it's just been a lot of health issues lately, and we just pray that you can just clean that mess up and clean up the sickness and get everybody back on the path of just being healed and feeling well. And we just, again, I ask this morning that you just clear the thoughts in my head. There's so many things rumbling around that just need clarity this morning, and I just ask that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you just speak those. These are your words. These are the things that you had penned down so people know who you are, and just use me as a vessel to pour these out and just clear up anything that may be muddy or confused, and just utilize it to just grow our strength and our knowledge and what we have. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to just jump right in. Let's just, if you want to follow along, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're just going to read it, and then we'll dig in. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. So, verse 1 in that, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, and we're going to jump into 2, that their hearts may be encouraged. Encouraged how? We read that all the time, to be encouraged, to encourage one another, to have God's word encourage us, to have our church body encourage us, and we ask how? How can we be encouraged, or what does that look like? And it answers that question, keep going on in verse 2, when it says, having been knit together in love. Knit together brings unity. That's what he's talking about, is unity. They're knit together, they have unity together because they know and understand who and what Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus can do within them. That is where the wisdom and knowledge that it talks about, like in verse 3, that is where that wisdom and true knowledge of Jesus Christ reside, and it will not be found here on earth. No matter how hard we look for that wisdom and knowledge, no matter how hard we try to gain it by earthly means and earthly measures, we won't be able to do it. That truth and knowledge that we need can only be found in Jesus Christ, and that's going to kind of be what these 7 verses, what we're going to kind of hold together with that is that it's Jesus Christ. And remember, if you remember back in the whole reason that Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians, it's because he's trying to combat false teaching and Gnosticism, of trying to say that there is knowledge in finding other ways to heaven and other ways that Jesus isn't the only way to get to heaven and to know God or to get close to God and to understand Him. So Paul is drawing his line in the sand and saying absolutely that is wrong, that Jesus Christ is the only way. So always, when we're going through this book, always have that in the back of your head. So, number one, unity has to have some sort of compassion. To be able to have unity, and that's why this just hit me hard when we was laying this out, because of what our country is facing right now. The Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars, and there will always be that. But when we're in a situation like what we're in, it's what our nation is facing with Russia and Iran and China, what things are looking like. We don't have that unity. There's not the unity in this world, and there won't be, because unity requires compassion, and this world doesn't have compassion. John chapter 17, that's something we're going to refer to, but if you want to look at what does unity really look like, John chapter 17 is a good place to go. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it's word for word of what Jesus actually is speaking, but John chapter 17 goes through and looks at what true unity is. And Paul struggles with it when he says in the beginning, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have. Paul's struggling with it because he's seeing the divisions that not being unified is causing. That's the whole point of this. Not being unified in Jesus Christ is making people question things. The Laodicean church we'll look at later, later on in Colossians, but the same things that's happening with them. That's the lukewarm church that it refers to in Revelations, that they're being divided. The division is there. They don't have that unity with Jesus. So a real quick look at unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. So the key in there is united in the same mind and the same judgment. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you, so that's everybody, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Complete my joy, being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Complete my joy. Remember that right there. Complete my joy. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So if mankind would focus on Jesus and put Him in His ways first, we would not only complete His joy like what Philippians 2:2 says, when it says, complete my joy, we'd be able to work together in harmony in everything we do with everybody that we do it with. And that is why there's wars and rumors of wars and things like Russia, Iran, and China right now. Because why? Because this world is not a humble place. People don't have humility. This world does not have a tender heart. Those countries and them leaders of those countries do not have a tender heart. The dictatorship that they run, the communist countries, they don't have a tender heart for their people because look how they treat them. They treat them all as slaves. There's no tenderness there. It's not sympathetic. They don't care if one of their workers dies. They just throw them in a mass grave. They don't have any sympathy for anybody. This world does not have the same mind or judgments as what Jesus does. This world does not love one another. Would there be wars if people love? And we're taking love. I'm not talking about the Valentine's Day love that's coming up, the emotional type love. But does this world have true love for one another and its brothers that are in it? No. All of that stuff that is lacking is why there is no unity in this world. So we look at it and say, what do we need to have? What does the Bible tell us that we need to do? We need to be united in the same mind and the same judgment. How do we have a baseline or a true plumb line for what our judgments and our minds should be? What is that? Obviously, it's Jesus. That is our plumb line. Jesus Christ is our plumb line. You look at all of those countries and all of this problems that this world has, it's because they don't have a plumb line. They are their own plumb line, which is contrary to what God says is true. That's another reason that you know that the Bible is true. Because people that act against how the Bible lays out we should act, what a mess that it is. And then in our own life, when we try to act this way, and we try to do this, you can see that the unity that it brings and the effect that it has on everybody. So that should be another example of why that you know the Bible is true in your own life. Because when you act unified in the same mind, the same judgment, when you have sympathy, you have love for one another, you have tender hearts, you have a humble mind, you show humility, good things come from that. We all know that because it's hard for us to do. My grandma says there's 5 minutes of a bad situation, and after that it can only get better. But it takes humility to admit the first 5 minutes of that situation and to admit that situation that you were wrong or that you caused the problem. But after that, it does what? It gets better. It truly does, because you're looking for solutions to be able to fix that, which then unify. It takes that division that Satan wants, and it brings it all together. So, do we agonize and struggle when Paul says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. Do we agonize and struggle when looking at the lost because of what they're missing? That's a gut check. Does that affect us, or are we too busy in our life and too worried about our own self that we don't care about anybody around us? Because then we're no different than the communist dictators in this world that are ruining this world. Because all they do is care about themselves. They don't care about anybody else. Do we have compassion for one another? Do we look at somebody knowing that they've either strayed away or that they're a lost sheep and we don't go do anything about it? Or we don't go help them? Or we don't encourage them? Paul's not even with them. Paul's in prison, chained to a Roman guard. And yet he says that he struggles for them. Why would you struggle for somebody when you're chained up and you're struggling yourself? But that's what we need. That's the unity. That's being one with Jesus Christ that we're going after. Paul mentions Laodicea here in chapter 2, verse 1, and then again in the book, in Colossians, it's chapter 4, verse 16. He says to share this letter with them, and then the church of Laodicea, he says, share your letter with the Colossians. What does that show? That shows that Paul's struggle and his mental battle for others is real. Because he cares for them. And that takes a toll. That's why he's struggling with himself. You have to mentally struggle with yourself because mentally we want to take the path that's the easiest. We get scared when we see the path, when we're at that crossroads and we see the direction that we can go. We get scared on the path that looks hard. We like to take the path that's easy. So we have to have that mental discussion with ourselves to talk ourselves into going down the road less traveled. But Jesus is very clear when he says that the gate is narrow. He's very clear that says you need to go on the path that's the hard path. Because you can't be comfortable until you've been uncomfortable. So it takes that hard path for the good things to show forth. It doesn't take the easy path in life just to walk through thinking that everything's okay and that you have all things are perfect and no big deal and you don't have a worry or anything about anybody. That's how we get that division, because you have the people that are hurting and the people that need the help and the people that are crying out, but on the inside they're melting and they don't show it, or maybe they do. So we have a division between us who think that we're just everything so perfect and hunky-dory and it's fine, and we don't have any compassion and we can't see somebody that's sitting there crying out for help. We don't have that unity that we need. Are we concerned with others? Is a question that we have to ask ourselves. And we have to be careful not to turn it into gossip, because we're not just concerned because of what they did Friday night or how they partied or how drunk they got or who they slept with or whatever. That's not it. Don't turn it into gossip. Are we concerned with one another on what the unity with Jesus Christ that they're missing? The path that we're walking and the path that they're walking, knowing that they're sinking in the mud and they can't get out, but they can't see how far down deep that it really truly is, are we really truly concerned for people? Are we willing to share? But that sets our stuff aside. I think I was talking with Mom that something doesn't really have value if it doesn't cost you anything. Are you willing to share? Paul was chained to a guard, and yet what did he do? He didn't write one letter. He wrote multiple letters, and then yet he told him to share them. Get the word out. Spread the word, because people need to hear it, because there's division and there's confusion and people need stability and they need truth. So get it out there. And I think, do we want to spread the truth is what, do we? Our world is going to be turned upside down in the next few months. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that, because I truly think that it will. And if it does, I hope it doesn't. I truly hope it doesn't, because I have little kids and I have a wife and I have little things that I care about and that I need to take care of. But our world is going to get shook. Things are going to change. Our new normal is not going to be what we classify as normal. What is your foundation built upon? Because when the foundation shakes, people wake up. Are you going to be willing to give somebody that value that they need, even though it will cost you something? Are you willing to step out on a limb and share somebody and give them the truth that you hold on to? I think that's what God's preparing us for. I think that's why we've had it as easy as we've had it the last few years. God is giving us plenty of opportunities to fill our storehouses, just like Joseph did in the famine of Egypt. I think God specifically puts that story in the Bible because that is us, to where we live our life, to when the times are great, things are easy. Do we fill our storehouses? Do we take God's word and do we fill our storehouses with that? So when the famine hits the land, we have the information. I'm not talking about physical food. Do we have the spiritual food that people are going to be looking for? Because when the famine hits, people get hungry. When the world gets turned upside down and the new normal is not normal, people are going to be hungry. And you look at it and how comfortable we get to sit here. How many years we've got to sit in these pews and we've just got to intake. And how many notes we put in our Bibles, how many notes we write in our notebooks. Are you ready to use those? Be ready to use them. Here we are, designed for a time such as this. And I'd had no intentions of even saying that, but that's where it's going. Spread the truth, because the truth exposes what is false. Which then can do what? If we expose what is false with truth, what do? We start to close that gap on the divisions that divide us. Will it be tough? Will people get angry? Will people be hurt? Will it hurt you? Sure it will. It's never good to talk to somebody to try to help somebody when they don't want help or they don't see that they need help. But they will. Not through your power. But the huge key in that situation is to pray that God can soften them and that the Holy Spirit will work in them. It's not up to you. You just have to show up. What will unity do? It will unify our families. It will unify our relationships. And it will unify our communities. That's what the truth will do. We don't want all this chaos and we don't want all this division. Fix it. How? Be unified together with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And that is why the world is not unified, because half of the world does not want to know or does not accept or will not accept who Jesus Christ is and what he did and what he is still doing today in our lives. That's how we unify. You say, how do I fix it? How do I do it? How do I fix my household? How do I fix my family that is separated? How do I do whatever it is? You pray that Jesus Christ intervenes and that the Holy Spirit takes over and unifies that, because that's the only way that it's going to happen. He may use you to say something. He may use you to show something. But it's not the power that we have. That's our problem. We rely too much on the problem or the power that we think we hold on to fix these problems, and then all we do is we make them blow up. And we create the divisions and we divide instead of pulling it back together. Here's a big point. Unity of believers will bring out humility. Humility will bring out integrity. What is integrity? Definition is the character that is made of wholeness, completeness, it's untouched, and it's intact. Integrity keeps us from pretending, because pretending is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy creates what? Division, and it divides. A whole person, a person with integrity, has nothing to hide or fear. God has, and always will, seek out men and women of integrity. Think about that. Think of all the stories of the Old Testament, all the stories in the Bible. Daniel, he didn't bow to an earthly king, did he? You look at every single story that God used was somebody that had integrity. And God will use people of integrity yet. We should strive to be a person of integrity. And that's what's going to happen when we get that road, the road that's less traveled. It's hard to be a person of integrity, is it not? It isn't my job. It is in the world that I live in. It's hard. That's where pray for strength to stay on guard. Pray to depend on God. We serve an audience of one. Michael Beck talked on a Thursday night a long time ago, probably not, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 months ago, that we serve an audience of one. He is the only one who will reward your faithfulness. If you know that, it will make it much easier, because people on this earth that we strive to show how good we can be so we get their faithfulness and we get their respect, that's where we lose our guard and put our guard down, and we get going down that easier path because we want to please people here. When Jesus says, I am not of this world, I am not that person, I am not that people, Jesus is different from those people. That is who we should strive to wake up and to please every day, is Jesus Christ, not the people of this world. But I want to go, I want to wake up, and I want to figure out how to sell as much corn as physically possible because I want Pioneer to think that I do an awesome job. I have to struggle with that because I want to wake up and do that. But I know that my integrity to Jesus Christ will suffer if that is my full focus on my life. So verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. Full assurance of understanding in the original language is complete confidence and practical discernment. So if I have full assurance and confidence in Jesus Christ, it will result in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. How? Because we see we can't do things on our own. When I have to fully, completely turn it over to Him, I'm going to learn who He is. Because He's going to show me. Because I stepped back and I got out of the way. If I put my complete confidence in Jesus, the result in the situation will be much different than that of my own doing in the situation. And every one of us can attest to that is true. The treasures, verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? The treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. So why would God hide them? What are they hidden from? Because we can't see them when we're looking for answers ourselves. His answers are hidden when we're out seeking the world's answers. The self-help books, the self-medication, whatever that may be, to make myself feel better, or to ease the pain, or to mask the struggle that I have. Whatever it is, that's why they're hidden. They're hidden because we choose not to see it. He tells us right here what the answer to that mystery is. We have to be completely confident that Jesus has the right answers that we need. Says wisdom and knowledge. Why are wisdom and knowledge a treasure? Why is wisdom and knowledge a treasure? So you can be like the people that Paul's talking not to be like? The Gnosticism that thinks that they have the knowledge and they know more? No. How much work and how big of a mess will be saved when we do things the way that God has intended them to be? That is the wisdom and knowledge. When we have the wisdom and knowledge to do things in the situation the way that God designs them to be, we're going to save ourselves a ginormous mess. And to you younger women that aren't married or whatever, many of us in this room can attest do things the way that God has designed things to be, and you're going to save yourself a heck of a mess. That's one easy example that I have. Do things the way that God's designed them to do. Don't do them the way that the world has designed you and tells you that sex is okay and that all this birth control stuff can do this and blah, 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 whatever. God did not design sex to be done that way. And it will create a mess if it's done differently than what God has designed it to be. You may not see it in the moment or for a few years or whatever it may be, but it will expose itself. Verse 4. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Paul's just continuing to build on that complete confidence in him, of what he's talking about. He's just continuing to build upon that. No one can deceive you if Christ provides all that you need. You won't be deceived. Don't go looking for more or extra. Well, Jesus can only handle this, but I think I can use this to solve that problem myself. Or I save that problem for God, but I can go out and I can fix this situation myself. Or I'll just use booze or drugs or sex or whatever to fix that problem, to make myself feel better, and I'll leave the big problems up to Jesus. No. That's not the answer. To have that complete confidence is to give it all away. Give it all up. Don't go looking for more answers. He's point blank and said, I'm all that you need. If we can wrap our head around it, that Jesus Christ is all that we need, that deception and those arguments that we get into or that we're faced with or people try to come at us with, there'll be no issue. They won't be able to sway you. They won't be, because you're going to be rooted firmly. We're going to look at written down. You're going to be rooted firmly into your faith and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, that you're going to be just like Paul and be able to call out the false with the truth. But you have to know the truth to recognize what is false. People will come to you with skillful words and clever arguments. It's our job to know who Jesus is and what the things are that he stands for and how the things he designed work. That's up to us. God give us all of that right here. He gave us the instructions to every situation. There is not one situation in our life that we can't combat with the truth in the Scripture. But it's up to you to go find it. It's up to you to learn it. It's up to you to put it in your soul. So that way when you need it, you can take that file card, thumb through it, and pull it out and say, oh yeah, that's how I'm supposed to handle this situation. Or that's how I'm supposed to combat that person that says this. It's up to you. And that's why we do this. That's why we sit in church. That's why we listen to different things on the radio. That's why we read our daily Bibles. That's why we do the things that we do, to put that information in our souls. That's why Paul wrote in chapter 1, if you remember, when it goes through the deity of who Jesus Christ was or is and what he died for, what he is doing in our life, Paul covered all of that. So he can say, don't go looking for more. I'm giving you the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer with everything right here. I already laid it all out for you. That was in the first part of the middle of chapter 1 that we covered a few weeks ago. Gary Horton says, a quote, keep the main thing, the main thing. What's the main thing? Jesus Christ is the main thing. Don't muddy it. Keep the main thing, the main thing. And that will allow us to stay focused and not be pulled away and distracted by all of the little things that Satan's going to throw at us. He's going to make it sound good. It's going to be clever. It's going to be with skillful people that can speak much better than me and can defend things much better than I can. That's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. That's why prayer is real. A lot of times we use prayer for thankful, you know, thankful things. praying to help people. But prayer also needs to be real. Just like when Jesus went on the hill in the garden before he was arrested, he prayed for himself. God, you need to help me get through this. If there's any other way, you need to help me. We need to pray that also, that God protect us, give us the information that we need so when we face those struggles, we face those situations, you are who we go to right away. Because we're going to react. We as human beings react one way or another. We need to react on the truth. We need to have that information sitting here ready to be used at all times. But it's our job to be able to put that in. Verse 5. For even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I think Paul is stealing some of that same thought when he says in verse 5, even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've covered this many times, we're going to cover it again. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you turn yourself over to Him, you are immediately indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We have it. The Spirit of God resides in you. The power to overcome whatever it is that seems impossible just became possible. Because of what? Because of what I can do with my own power? No. Because you have the Spirit of the living God residing within you. That is how the impossible becomes possible. If we are in Him, we are complete. That's just what that said. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Unity. It's all together. If we are in Him, we're complete. It doesn't matter our shortcomings. He made you complete. Verse 6 through 7. You want the easy button? The Staples easy button? This is the key to life. It's covered right here in verses 6 and 7. So if you remember one thing, or one verse, or two verses, this is it. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. If only we were confident in it. Why aren't we? Why ain't I? I read it. I understand it. Are we confident in it? We received Christ. Walk in Him. That's it. Will your life be easy? No. But will it be doable? Yes. Because we're complete. We have the answers. We have the information that we need. But do we take it out of our file card? Are we confident enough to fall back on that? Okay, Jesus, you say that you will handle this situation. You will get me through this situation. You say it. Well, right there, how I say it before I pull it out of my head, I'm already questioning whether He can do it or not. Do we have the complete confidence in Jesus Christ is who He says that He is and that He will do what He says that He will do? If we do, if we walk with Him, that brings that overflowing gratitude in our life that we wish that we could have. Know His Word so that nobody deceives you. Trust that Christ provides it all and stop looking for more. Stop looking. Don't wake up every morning trying to figure out how you're going to make it work. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get this done? How am I going to meet that deadline? How am I going to face that person? Walking in. Step back. Because it won't happen. And I can say that because it ain't happened. I've tried. And it goes back to that same thing, that save yourself from what you know things are going to be like. That's what He's saying. You know the answers. You want it done the right way, do it the right way. Use Him as the power to accomplish it the right way. So I normally don't do steps or numbers or anything, but steps to grow your faith. And we'll close. One, accept Jesus as your true Lord. Say, how do I want this? I want all this. I want to be complete in Him. I want to be unified in Him. I want to do this. How do I do it? We must grow in our faith. Accept Jesus as your true Lord. Romans 12, verse 1 through 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Two, follow Him continually. John chapter 8 through 12, or 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Will you walk through dark places? Yeah, we will. And many of us have. But was it complete darkness when we walked through them? Because who was shining that light for us? Three, let your roots grow into Him. Verse 7, when it says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, let our roots grow into Him. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Let Him grow. Let it go. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That is how your roots will grow. Continue to hear. Continue to read. Continue to think about it. We talked about on Thursday night how meditation is, what word did we use? Feel like meditation is, huh? It's been hijacked by the Eastern religions and thoughts and the ways that they do things. And we think that it's weird because it's a little Buddha or whatever sitting going like this. You need to meditate. That is a good word to use, is to meditate. When you read your daily Bible in the morning or you read whatever, take something from that and meditate on it throughout the day. Just like Fassel used the example of the cud, the chewing, where you intake it, but then you keep regurgitating and chewing on it throughout the day. That's meditation. That's your cud. Pick your cud for the day and chew on it. The Holy Spirit has to be there. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We can't neglect the Holy Spirit. I think that is Christians as far and things that we do, I think that is something that we don't give the Holy Spirit credit that He needs credit for. We don't understand the power that the Holy Spirit has. The Holy Spirit, you don't think about it anything weird. It's Jesus Christ living in you. It is the same power living in you. The same power that I think that rose Jesus from the grave, I think was in that song. That is in us. If you got to meditate on something, think about something, meditate on that. That'll probably change how you handle situations and how you think things and how you work through your struggles and your battles. The fourth one, let your roots feed and supply that which you are growing. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. We need to feed that. That goes back to our unity. What is it feeding in us? It helps us with love. It helps us with joy. It helps us with patience. It helps us with kindness. It helps us with goodness. It helps us with our faithfulness. That's the living water that our roots are tied down into can produce that. That's what Jesus Christ expects us to do, expects us to be. If we take it seriously, if we say, yes, He is my King and I submit to Him, it should start to affect those things in our life. We should be able to have joy when we shouldn't have joy. We should be able to make peace when peace is not possible. We should be able to be faithful to Him versus faithful to the world. We should be able to be kind to people when they're not kind to us. That's the things that should feed us. So we can then produce that fruit, like we've talked about. We can produce that and give that so other people can see it, because when the famine hits, are you going to have that fruit hanging from your tree when they come looking and they're hungry? We'll close. Father, we just thank You again for Your time this morning to allow us just to be challenged, allow us to see You in maybe ways that we haven't seen You before. We just ask that You can give us the power to just sit back and let the Holy Spirit take over and allow us to be complete in You, to just have complete dependence on You, just to let the things of this world that keep us motivated and make us feel safe and comfortable, we just pray that we can let those go and that we turn to You for our life raft, that You are the one that needs to keep us afloat. You're very clear when You say that, but it's very hard for us to let go and do that. So, Father, I just pray that You allow us the discernment to see that when we need to let go, the struggles that we're in, the situations that we're in, whatever it may be, that we can just step back and let You take that over and relax in what You say the walk with You is. We all want it, Father. So I just pray that You give us the tools, which You have. You've given us the tools, but allow us to use the tools that You've given us to be able to make that happen. Just pray for the little ones downstairs that they may have learned something that can help them this morning, that when they go home they can just be little children who are kind to their parents and kind to one another, and when they get to school that they can just help the lost. There's so many darkness that so much darkness that walks the halls in the schools, and we see it every week at Basic, and we just pray for them Basic kids also, that You just allow them to Your light to shine through them and help somebody get through a struggle or a situation that they're crying for help, but nobody hears them. And we pray for our offering this morning, as You do fit with this finances in this church that You see fit. You just hold us accountable for the things that You've given us to just reach our hand out and help those in need. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.